The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. The fourth Sunday of Easter each year is called Good Shepherd Sunday, because on this day the Church focuses on a part of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, in which Jesus reveals the relationship he wants to have with each of us as his faithful followers. Jesus says about himself, "I am the Good Shepherd." And we, his faithful followers, with the words of today's psalm, cry out, "We are his people, the sheep of his flock." We make our own the words of today's second reading from the book of Revelation, which express our Christian hope. "For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water as God wipes away every tear from their eyes." And we proclaim with some of the most famous words God has ever inspired, "The Lord is my shepherd. I want, I lack for nothing." We mark this truth in the heart of the Easter season each year because it is the heart of Easter joy, with the risen Lord Jesus as our shepherd, leading us to streams of life-giving water. We truly have it all. During this extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy, mercy is meant to influence everything we do in some way. And it behooves us to look at the reality of the relationship we're supposed to have with God as sheep to shepherd within this prism of God's merciful love. The Good Shepherd intends first that we will be his good sheep, receiving his mercy and following him as faithful disciples. Then the Good Shepherd wants to form us so intimately that we will become good shepherds after his own heart, going out with his mercy, like he said to St. Peter in last Sunday's Gospel, to feed and tend his sheep and lambs, and to do so with his manifold mercy. So let's look at our relationship with the Lord Jesus through this lens. In this 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus gives us what he intends to do for us as our shepherd. And it basically breaks down into three things. First, as good shepherd, Jesus feeds his flock. As we pray in the psalm, he prepares a table for us in the midst of our foes. And Jesus feeds us, in every way. He feeds us materially as he gives us each day our daily bread. He feeds our souls with his word. For as we hear at the beginning of Lent, not only on bread alone does man live, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he feeds us ultimately with his body and blood in the Eucharist, the food of everlasting life. All three forms of nourishment are expressions of his mercy. He cares for us enough that he makes sure that not one day in our life have we gone to bed starving. He loves us so much with his mercy that he gives us all of sacred scripture, and that he's actually given us the ability to read, and he's provided for us an education so that we can use that talent to hang on and live on every word that comes from his mouth. And in response to our prayer, Lord, give us this bread always, as was said in the synagogue of Capernaum. Or, as Jesus himself taught us to pray in the Greek words of the Our Father, give us today our super substantial bread from heaven. God the Father actually rains down his eternal Son every single day. The Good Shepherd, out of mercy, gives us this triple nourishment. But let's examine the flip side of that covenantal relationship. How do we do in response to this mercy? Are we good sheep with response to the shepherd who feeds us? Am I grateful for the food he provides me each day? Do I hunger for his teaching that he gives as nourishment for my soul? Am I starving for him in the Holy Eucharist? Or can I go a Sunday or two or three or four without receiving him? Or actually, can I go a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or Friday or Saturday without receiving him? Even though, of course, it's not obligatory to receive the Lord Jesus during the week. Do I appreciate what this gift is? I always say on everything I'll ever preach, I'm a hypocrite with one exception. When the light bulb finally went off when I was an 18-year-old freshman in college, that it really was Jesus on the altar. I said, is there anything more important I could be doing any day of my life than coming to receive him? And from that day 28 years ago until today, by God's mercy, I have never once gone without the food of everlasting life. The shepherd provides himself for us every day. We might not be able to receive him each day because of work or school obligations, but do we have that hunger for him to feed us? And then, are we allowing him to transform us to be shepherds of others, caring for their material hungers, caring for their spiritual hungers, especially when they don't know or live by the Word of God, and seeking to bring them to Jesus Christ incarnate, who comes down for them just as much as he does for us? It's the first way the shepherd wants to have that relationship with us. He is a good shepherd, feeds us, and as good sheep, he wants us to pig out on that nourishment in such a way that, fortified, we might be able to breastfeed the whole world. Second way the good shepherd shepherds us is, he says, he guides his flock. Earlier in this 10th chapter, Jesus says that the good shepherd walks ahead of his sheep, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice, and they know his voice so much that they won't listen to the voice of imposters. Today's gospel, he adds, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We can ask, to where does the good shepherd lead us? God himself answers that question in the psalm, that he leads us in right paths for his namesake. He leads us beside the refreshing waters. We know that those refreshing waters are right over there, the font of baptism. He guides us toward the verdant pastures of heaven. In all of this, we recognize that Jesus doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't just give us a map of the sacred scriptures. He himself comes to guide us. I remember once in those days, long, long ago, before GPSs, where I'd gotten directions to go pick somebody up in southern Rhode Island. I'm pretty good with directions. The directions weren't all that good. It was very confusing. And I kept going around and around and around, getting out the map, looking at it, comparing against what was written down. Finally, I was able to see a police officer stopped at a red light. So I pulled up, rolled down the window, he rolled down his, said, officer, forgive me, I'm lost. I'm trying to get to 4780 Tower Hill Drive. He starts laughing and says, oh, that's impossible to find. I said, could you at least give me an indication? He says, I can do better than that. Follow me. And then he led me straight there. Jesus Christ does the same for us. He cares about us so much that He doesn't want us to become a lost sheep. He comes down into our daily life and He says, listen, I'm here. All you have to do, listen to my voice and follow in my footsteps, and I will guide you all the way to heaven. What great love that is. How does Jesus guide us? He guides us first in prayer. He guides us through sacred scriptures. He guides us through the shepherds He's given us, from the Pope to the bishops to the priests to faithful catechists to parents, godparents, and others. But that provokes us to ask, am I a good sheep? Do I really listen to Jesus' voice? Do I follow Him along the path He shows me? But do I prefer to do my own thing and go my own way? Am I living a life of true communion with Him? Or are there parts of my life in which I'm following worldly gurus rather than my good shepherd? And then comes to the second series of questions. Has my following of Jesus led me to become a good guide to others about the right path? Or am I just what Jesus would call elsewhere in the gospel, a blind guide, leading others into ditches and dead ends? Am I able to echo the Good Shepherd's voice in my conversation with others, especially when they ask me about the things of the faith, about controversial issues, about right and wrong, life and death, prayer and the sacraments? God, out of His incredible merciful love, guides us each day and wants to transform us so that we can be reliable guides for others. And He seeks to do that ever more during this Jubilee year. How are we doing? Will other people recognize that we're ultimately followers of Jesus? Will people recognize us as followers of a particular political leader? Will they recognize us as adherents of Dr. Phil or some other talk show host? Third way Jesus is Good Shepherd, loves us, is by protecting His flock to the point of dying for us. Jesus tells us very clearly in this 10th chapter of St. John that there are thieves and marauders who are trying to fleece, milk, kill, cook, and consume us. But against those who come only to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus sets Himself up as the protection. He makes Himself the gate so that people can't get at us. He tells us today, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one, and He means it, no one can take them from my hand. To protect us, not only was He willing to die for us, but He actually died for us. The Good Shepherd, He tells us, lays down His life for His sheep. And that's why we can act on His words, be not afraid, because He Himself mercifully will protect us from everything that can eternally harm us, provided that we stay in His fold, provided that we remain in His strong, outstretched, merciful hands. Thus we can say with trust and confidence as we pray in the psalm, even though I walk in the darkest valley, and some of us have been in those dark valleys, I fear no evil, for He is at my side with His rod and His staff to strengthen me. But we've got to ask, how are we doing as the sheep of this shepherd? How are we receiving His gift of protection? Do we allow Him to drive the thieves and marauders far from our soul? Or do we cozy up to the things that will spiritually harm us? Well, no one can take us from Christ's hands. Do we voluntarily wander away as lost sheep, as prodigal sons, failing to appreciate the gift we have in Christ's holy protection? And do we allow the Good Shepherd's mercy to change us in such a way that we will seek to protect others from spiritual harm, even to the point of sacrificing ourselves for their good, even to the point, if we need to, of dying so that they might live? The Good Shepherd seeks to minister to us in each of these three ways, in his teaching, in feeding us, in his guiding and directing us, in his protecting and dying for us. And he wants us each day he gives us, each year he gives us, to grow in this relationship to him. One of the most important ways Jesus mercifully continues to feed, guide, and protect us is by taking some of his sheep and making them effective shepherds. He takes disciples and makes them apostles and guardians. And on this fourth Sunday of Easter each year, the church celebrates intentionally the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, especially priestly vocations. That those God is calling to become priests after the heart of the Good Shepherd will hear the Good Shepherd's voice, be encouraged by their families and parishes to follow that calling, and persevere in becoming the priest God wants and you deserve. In the letter he wrote to guide our prayer today during this great jubilee of mercy, Pope Francis reminded us that every particular vocation is a gift of divine mercy. Every vocation has its origin in the compassionate gaze of Jesus. And when Pope Francis was writing these words, they're literally true in his case. As you probably know, he received his first inkling of his priestly vocation, which eventually became a papal vocation, though he didn't know it at the time. When he was a 16-year-old kid, September 21st, 1953, on Students' Day in Buenos Aires, the first day of spring in the Southern Hemisphere, when he just made a quick visit to his local church, the Basilica of San Jose in Flores, and he saw a priest whom he had never seen before, Father Carlos Duarte Ibarra, and he spontaneously felt called to go up and just ask him to hear his confession. And they went into the confessional, and young Jorge Bergoglio exited, not just with his plans for the day changed. He was intending to go out to the suburbs with his friends, have a picnic and kick a soccer ball around. But with his plans for his life changed, because it was there in the confessional, in the very act of receiving the Good Shepherd's mercy, that he recognized that the Good Shepherd was calling him to continue to give that mercy to his flock for the rest of his life. And he chose his papal motto from this whole experience, Miserando atque eligendo, a Latin expression that says, in the very act of God's extending his mercy to us, he calls us. It's the whole mystery, not only of his vocation, of my vocation, of every priest's vocation, but in some sense, it's at the heart of everyone's Christian vocation that the Lord, through our baptism in his mercy, has called us to go out with him and help him save the world. If we're going to continue to receive the gift of the Good Shepherd's mercy, we need priests who can hear our confessions. Because there's no other way that we can be certain that our sins are taken away except in that great gift that Jesus founded for us on Easter Sunday evening, because he knew we'd need it. If we're going to be able to hear and follow the Good Shepherd's voice, we need priests who are powerful and good preachers. If we're going to allow the Good Shepherd to feed us, we need priests who are able, through the grace of Holy Order, to consecrate and give us his body and blood. Today is a day in which Pope Francis has asked priests to urge all the faithful to assume their responsibility for the care and discernment of vocations. To remember that every priestly vocation is born within the church grows within the church and is sustained by the prayers of the church. And so today, with him, we pray for all the priests of the world, that God may bless them and form them more and more to be good sheep and good shepherds, who can be God's instruments to help us become good sheep and good shepherds. We pray for all those men in seminary preparing for ordination, that God may inspire them to become truly holy. And we pray for all those boys and young men, especially the boys and young men of our families and of our parish, whom God is calling to serve him and others as priests, that they may have the faith and the courage to hear and to heed the Savior's call and go out with him after lost sheep everywhere, bringing them back to the Good Shepherd's one sheepfold. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who never leaves his flock untended. Jesus continues to feed, lead, and protect us through the priests whom he has entrusted with his mission to feed and tend his lambs and flock. And it's at the Mass where the Good Shepherd comes to meet us and do all three of these three things. We've just listened to the Good Shepherd's voice speaking to us in the Gospel. And now we prepare to receive his body and blood, and to send his Holy Spirit to guide us as we exit. And we ask that Good Shepherd to make us so grateful for the table he has prepared for us, that we will be ever more attentive to his voice speaking to us through the church, and come to know how to follow him through his priests all the way to the verdant pastures of heaven, where he seeks to give you and me and all those we know and love eternal repose. This is our faith. The Good Shepherd comes to meet us and call us anew to follow him. Get up and let's go, for we are the sheep of his flock. Praise be Jesus Christ.